Blog Talk Radio.
Have always been around. They were around Musa. They were around. They unfolded as Adam and Esau came and produced his children, and all this whole process. So this is the original theater. In any generation, you're going to have the haters. Am I right or wrong? Do we have haters in this generation? Yes, we do. We had haters during the time of Musa. Yes, we did. Esau? Yes, we did. But that didn't stop Esau. It didn't stop Musa. Peace be upon both of them and all of them. So here's the point that I want to make here. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not receive the Quran all at once because Allah was grooming him. He was growing him. Allah was nurturing him like he nurtures your plant. You know how you feed your plant? Some of you talk to your plant. I don't know whether it helps or not, whether it may help in your environment, something about the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was feeding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Quran on an as-needed basis. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu was not the one that conjured up the Quran. The Quran came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heart, to the chest, to the heart of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, we have rehearsed it to you in slow, well-arranged stages gradually. So what does that tell the student of the Quran? What does this tell the student of the Quran? It tells the student of the Quran to follow the route of Muhammad that Allah gave to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these people wanted the Quran to come up. Give me more. You don't have enough revelation. How come you don't have come at one time? It didn't come at one time because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one that was sending the book. It was not Prophet Muhammad himself had control over that. Just like some people think that they can summon angels. And all of this stuff. No! Allah has control over that. And we have to see that theater. We have to see that theater. And I'm going to move as fast as I can, but I want you to get my point, if it's okay for you to show up. Oh, Allah bless me to make the point clear enough for all of us in here to understand it. It's as clear as a picture, inshallah. Let's say inshallah. So those who reject faith say, what? Hey, Muhammad, why has the Quran revealed to you all at once? So the revelation came. It's not coming all at once. It's not natural for it to come all at once. It's not natural for me to live my life all at once. I can only live my life in stages. You can only live your life in stages. So this is how we should see. So Allah, the person that wants to learn the Quran, the person that wants to study the Quran and learn the Quran, digest the Quran, look at the example. What do we say in the daughter of the Hafiz Sholah? Hada method, right? Hada method. This is a method. The teachers, the scholars, and the college and university say, let me give you an example. That's what you sound really intelligent. If you don't say that, then you're not going to give you a job. But Allah himself is giving us an example in the Quran on how to memorize, study, and memorize the Quran in slow, rhythmic stages, small bites. So the lesson is here, and the lesson is how Rasulullah used to eat his food. How did the Rasulullah used to eat his food? Someone tell me. I'm relaxed now, so don't be trying to throw no pen up here, all right? If y'all tell me, He used to eat his food from the edges of his plate. He didn't dig in the middle of his plate and start eating from the center. He would eat from the edges of his plate. And it's almost like artistry. You know, he would manicure his plate. And he would eat from one side, eat the other side, eat in the middle, and then eat all of it. This is the mannerism of our purpose. So we should do this as we study the Quran. So I am looking for logic in Revelation. And I'm going to share with you, those of you who don't already know it, the different methods of tafsir. So for this term here, right here, see my little corner is moving. You see that? Anyway, can you hook me back up?
Sure.
All right. So the word Rasalna Tartiba. And I know you all have seen this phrase every time you read the Quran and every time you read the Ramadan, etc. But this Rasala is like a consistent beat, like a heart beat. The heart does not beat. How many times does it beat a minute? Are we
7 minutes.
Okay, so 7 minutes. So what happens when they put the steering wheel on? You get up 140 times a minute because they were in a unmental environment. So what the Quran does, it puts us back into our fitra state. You have to get into your fitra state. I'm not in my fitra state. I'm not going to be doing things normally and naturally as a natural born human being. I am going to either go to one side or the other, margin that is set in my nature. Okay? So now, read this next item. So, okay, I'll read it. Okay, let me read it.
ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن التفسير.
So you want to know where the term tafsir originally is? It's in the Quran. It is not coming from the Hadith first or coming from reporters first. Are coming from the ulama first with respect to the ulama. It's coming from the very word, as I mentioned earlier, the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining what the tafsir is. And so Allah says, وَلَا يَعْتُونَكَ Again, the method. There's the word method again. So the method in studying the Quran is in stages. And this ayat is saying that we should look at the Quran if we want to see what tafsir is. Tafsir comes from the Quran. It was born and birthed in the Quran. A lot of other things you can say about this, but I want to keep moving. Is that okay? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, so, and no question do they bring to you, Muhammad, but we reveal to thee the truth and the best explanation. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes it was his character, and the Arabs used to do this a lot, from what I've heard, but the Prophet himself used to do this. Someone would ask him a question, and he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't respond to them. He would just, I heard the question. He heard the question, but he's not giving any answer. Because his reliance upon God was on a very high level. And when someone asked him a question that would reflect the need for a very, very accurate answer, he would wait. He would wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the answer. Then he would give the information. So Sahaba used to come to Rasul Salam so much, and they used to ask him earlier in his mission, Ya Rasulullah, did Allah they would do this, and they did this for a while. But when they received revelation from, when he received revelation from Allah, and then he would keep giving it to them, then the weight of them being responsible for the revelation became heavy. So they stopped running up to Prophet Muhammad and asking, did he get any revelation today? Why? Because they had to be obligated to know it, to follow it, to live it. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So this is talking about the first ayah. You know, the people that asked Rasulullah, why is that the Quran? Why is it? This is referring to those people who will be gathered to hell. And say, it's Quran. So we don't so harsh when he's taking people. This is Quran. I have to say what the Quran is saying.
Right.
So Allah says, those people, those people will be gathered on their faces into hell. Now I want you to picture this. I am scared myself when I read the Quran, because I do not want to identify with these kinds of ayahs. These kinds of ayahs scare the hell out of me. Because this is not why the law is taught. Certainly the promise of Allah is true. And believe you me, hell is true. Why? Because Allah said it's true. Jannah is true because Allah said it's true. And his book and his word is true because Allah, his word is true, and Allah is true. I have to kind of gauge myself so I can get into football mode. You know what I mean. Hey, ma'am. Those who will be gathered to hell on their faces, they will be in an evil plight. And as to their path, وَأَضَّلُّ سَبِيلًا, their path will be so off track, going astray. That's in the Fatiha. As I said earlier, referring back to the first question, 25 and 32, based upon the community's need, Allah will reveal ayahs to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to guide him, and by guiding him, the community of believers will guide. Did you hear me reaffirm what I said? By Allah guiding the Prophet based upon the need, and the Prophet being guided, he would relay that information to the community, therefore the community would be guided. So did the Quran come to Prophet Muhammad all at once? I'm asking you all. How did it come to Prophet Muhammad? So it came gradually to him. Gradually. So me as a student, you as a student, listen, you and I do not learn at the same pace. We have our own pace of learning. Am I right or wrong? Now, the question becomes, what is my pace of learning? What is my pace? You have to know that. The testimony comes to the Quran. And that pace, you have to hold in on that particular level of understanding that you and I have, and then begin to nurture it like you nurture the plant. So we have to nurture ourselves with this Quran. There are different ways, but we don't have time to go into that right now. I would love to spend some time, more time with email. I wanted to give you an amount of my time because, he be dropping them, you know what I'm saying? I love them. We have a certain history that our genes call for a certain level of knowledge. I'm just saying, I probably didn't come across the wrong way. A certain level of knowledge, some people just love being salad. They're just salad eaters. You know, I'm not a salad eater. I eat meat. And that's what he said. He said, we are people that are omnivorous. You remember this one? Some people are carnivorous. Others are, herbivorous. I am not carnivorous and herbivorous only. I am omnivorous as a person, and many people are. So So we want to eat from the whole creation. We love this life, but there's a certain amount of a degree of knowledge I just won't eat. I know what kind of knowledge I like. And everybody is different. Am I right or wrong? So just don't invite me to eat a certain meat or participate in a certain particular environment and you're not feeding what I'm eating. I'm eating for honor first. I'm not eating hadith first. I'm eating Quran. I'm a Quran eater. I eat Quran. I study Quran. And I love hadith. But I'm not a hadith eater. I'm a Quran eater. And I like a lot of it. And we should love it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there are different schools of thought out here. I had one thing I was going to do at this point, but I took Surah with my colleague. And so I'm going to push that to the side, but I want to introduce something that you already know. It's going to bring it back to our mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he talked about two different types of ayahs. Can you get any of those two different types of ayahs, please? Yes. Basic and fundamental and allegorical. Okay. See you little Arabia. Mukhamat, what? Mutasab. What is the difference between a Mukhamat and a Mutasab? What's the difference? Which one is bigger?
Mukhamat.
Yes, the first.
Mukhamat
is?
Four.
Three and seven. Two or three, I was wrong. I had number seven. Where we find that? Here it is from the Surah upon you, meaning Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from on high, this divine writ, meaning the Quran, containing messages that are clear, muqamat, and by themselves, and these are the essence of it. Listen, and these are the essence of the book. So the muqamat, the basic and fundamental, are the essence of the book. Can you tell me any other surah that's kind of like Surah almost the essence of the book? Surah Al-Fatiha. Some scholars call Surah Al-Fatiha the essence of the book, but also they call it the mother of the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mother. It is the Umul Kitab. It is the mother of the book. Now, my mind went somewhere else, so I'm going to come back to Greek. So, and so now, those as well as others that are allegorical. Now, I'm going to read. Please be fair with me. I'm going to read from this. Those whose hearts are given to swerving from the truth go after that part of the divine gift, which has been expressed as allegory. So you see how quick people can go off fast. But those who have the knack to go astray. Now, I don't want to do that. How many of y'all play baseball?
I'm going to do it.
You got a man on earth. Somebody's back. And the man at the plate batting hits the ball. What would happen on the
first day?
No. What would happen to the man on first day? Because it's really like a flower. You know, the sun is a flower. It's so that it be in touch with our original fitra nature. That's what this holy month is about. What is the name of the Id after the end of Ramadan? Id al-Fitra. What does that mean? What is going on in the month of Ramadan where it is at the end, we have Id al-Fitra? What has happened during the month? We're supposed to be reading the Quran. We should be reading a lot of the Quran. So we're eating the Quran, so to speak, in our language. We're eating the Quran. We're eating and we're eating. You will never be the same person from Ramadan. Because the nutrients of the Quran are coming in on our minds and our souls. It depends on our decision. But it's coming in, and what is it doing? It is re-scripting us. It's making us all over again into someone on a higher level than we were when we entered into the month of Ramadan. So, please bear with me. Those who are deeply rooted in knowledge say, we believe in the whole of it is from our sustainment. Albeit none takes this to heart except those who have been endowed with insight. So, brothers and sisters, you have to bring something to get something. We have to bring something. What am I bringing? I'm bringing good intentions. I want to do the right thing. I want to live the right way. I want to see my family grow and develop. I want to see my children, my grandchildren evolve. That's our dua. We mentioned earlier, right or wrong. We have this responsibility to reproduce ourselves not only biologically. Don't you know Satan is robbing us of our children?
Yeah.
This is what was mentioned earlier. You can go to the masjid all you want. You can do this until you just levitate. Really, let me just say these things. But if we don't make connection with the next generation, we're going to lose this heart. We have a responsibility to make the connection with the next generation of Muslims and whet their appetite and watch them until they get it right. Because we can't turn the leadership over to someone that's being... take your poopy off, twist it off, set it over here, and take somebody else's poopy. It's a poopy. Put them to wear, but it's not your poopy. It's his poopy or their particular stuff or whatever, what they want to eat, dab, or people, or whatever they call it. That leads me to the definition. But I wanted to make sure we started off definitely with the Quran. So here, this translation, it's not really translation, but the Arabic is so beautiful. But those who have attained to faith and do good work, give the glad tidings to them will be gardens through which flowing rivers flow. Do you think that this is the only thing we're supposed to be looking for rivers to flow after we die? They told us that it's in heaven. Really, I'm sorry. But they gave us a lot of fairy tales, gave us the dragons and monsters in the ocean, moving into rivers and all of these things. We need to get away from the theater of fantasy and mysticism. Whenever you have one of the statements, taking the mysticism out of religion. We have to take the mysticism out of being, out of what has been given to us as tradition. Sometimes tradition is not produced by revelation. It's produced by culture and where people grew up. You know? So, they would say, it is this day and days of yore who was granted to us as our sustenance, for they shall be given something that will make them recall the past. And this is talking about, yes, something that's happening that's going to happen in judgment. That's a beautiful thing. That you'll be given some fruit in judgment, you know. Another deal. Well, you might bite this fruit, doesn't look like fruit earth. But they got to say, this is what we've been, And this has, listen, this has a reverberating cascade. In other words, we have so many ways to look at this process that you will be able to fathom, especially when you come down to Yahya and other events here. We'll be here discussing this concept of the fashion. We need to get ready for the Holy. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, he's given us everything that we need, brothers and sisters. He's given us everything we need. So this whole idea now about Tassi, I want to drill down on this real again. So now read that word. So I don't mind. So, this word.
Tassi.
What is it? Keep reading.
That's the interpretation or explanation from the verb tata, meaning to lift the curtain.
Stop. You hear that?
Yes.
When people are getting ready to do a big show on Broadway,
right?
And they announce everybody. And then finally, what happens? The curtains go up. Listen, when your intention is right, my intention is right, and we go into this Quran, Allah is going to give you what you were looking for and more. I remember when Imam Ali Muhammad he would ask a question at one of those Ramadan sessions. This is common with stuff too, but can we enjoy ourselves? So one brother would ask a question, and then Imam Muhammad, I just want to know, you know, your concept on, you know, rainbow. The rainbow. So the Imam was start talking about this and this and this. Now he was start talking about the rainbow, right? So when he started talking about the rainbow, it keyed his mind to something else having to do with the colors. Maybe it's the colors in the top of the mountains and all this stuff. So Imam Muhammad would answer questions for 30 minutes. Then the brother be said that, okay, brother, so he said, you ask one question, that question was for you, but my answer is for everybody. I miss you, man. So, the interpretation and explanation from the verb fasara, meaning to lift the curtain. And this has to take place in us. I have to be so dedicated to God. My reliance upon God is my reliance upon God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your caliber of reliance is your caliber of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you open the Quran, let's say it's not even on you, because I want to write it. Somebody asked someone, you give Quran and that Arabic English. So they're reading the phonetic of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay? So you think the curtains are going to come up in that person's head? You think curtains are going to open up for that person? The wisdom behind the minute? Maybe, but most likely not, because we have to be prepared to go into the Quran. We have to prepare ourselves before we go into it. Our niyyah has to be right. So tafsir from fasara means to lift the curtain. And you know when that curtain is being lifted. Because you're studying, but you're not studying normally that you just read something. No. You can ask Allah. Oh, Allah, bless me with understanding of and the intentions are media is good. So what happens is that was that the Siraf you were talking about earlier? Okay, the Siraf then is biological, as he knows it, but missing the intellectual aspect of the Sirah. The intellectual aspect is up here. The world is living down there. That's what it is. And I think that that's the reason why people catch so much hell, because they misuse what's down there. So they invite themselves to hell, because their mind is not in coordination with the fitra of their biology. I love you. Hey, that was my concept. That was my thing. Biology. Logic and money. But that was my major, along with you. I'm just sharing. But the biology seems to be like a magnetic type of thing, because I can identify with the mind, the heart, and, you know, what really fascinated me, and I'm just having a conversation with you, is the beating of seeing a picture of the human heart beating. Just a video of the human heart beating. And all that theater, all of that action that's going on there, what is the role of that thing, that muscle? And then it has an unseen aspect. What I'm looking at is the seen aspect of the heart. But the heart has an unseen definition, and it has a seen definition, an unseen role and a seen role. So we have to coordinate all of this stuff. We do not have time to waste time. Wow. So let me read this being recorded. Okay, so I'm gonna read the five. I want you to keep talking. So the science of Kafir is a branch of the promise, and I want to complete the sentences with me for the next book. The science of Kafir is a branch of the departmentalized knowledge, in which the meanings of the Quran are explained and its injunctions and wisdom are described openly and clearly. Processes of tafsir. Tafsir builds waiting. It is perception of being mature by transmission, as we know, the revelation of the Quran and the Bible of Allah. Tafsir builds right. Why? And this is the beginning of my book. I write a book on this first subject, of Israel, by knowledge, tafsir, by insight, by perception, by accumulated knowledge, and this it behalf, intellectual struggle, informed opinion. This is what he may want to say also. He said, you and I are to be as righteous, as moral, and as righteous as we possibly can be, and be as sincere as we possibly can be. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will bless you with the insight. And this is going to take me to my next point. I was looking up so many different tafsirs. There are so many different tafsirs that are listed. Why don't we have tafsirs among us? Why hasn't our leader produced a book at least? I'm not saying nothing. I'm saying tafsir. Why don't we have tafsir? Why don't we have our scholars put together their minds, take short of a certain concept like the Mayor Warren Muhammad has done over the years? Where is our product? Where is our book? Where is our booklet? Where is our next generation of Muslims in the masses? We have to go get them, and we have to put them in an environment and keep them in an environment and all that, so they can feed off of Quran and Alhamdulillah. I mean, now these were the processes of tafsir. Transmission, of course, perception, and intellectual struggle. Tafsir ishara is by indication. These are the three sources, three processes. So what is ishara? Ishara is reading signs. You know what I mean by reading. Bird flies off the sky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You remember that novel with the paper up? It is bird, and then that looks like a bird. person has to get a point where they can see the sign, right? So everybody can see the sign. That's the other thing. That's even what I'm saying. Oh, no, I'm just saying that's a joke. So pay attention closely to these first two. Sources of Tafsir. Tafsir, rule Quran, bil Quran. You know about that, right? Let's say this together. Tafsir, Quran, bil Quran.
Tafsir.
The second is Tafsir min Nabi. Tafsir min
Nabi.
Tafsir of Quran with Quran, as you know, is Tafsir of the Quran with the Quran. And this is so juicy, this is so meaty, you know. And Tafsir min Nabi is that Rasulullah used to give Tafsir on what was given to him, Tafsir given by the Prophet Muhammad. So these two are shaded in green. And then I have these two down here, shaded in green, and I did them on purpose. So we know then Tafsir of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there's other Tafsir of Sahaba, and you know, students of Sahaba, all of that. But these in green, I would like you to pay close attention to. Tafsir is to have deliberation and deduction by logical conclusion. Now, you know, this is vintage Imam W.B. Muhammad, right? This is one of the areas where he dwells, because he knew that if anyone comes up with concepts that are enlightening, giving guidance, etc., if they come up with places, either they come from Quran or they come from the Prophet. So again, I'm asking myself and all of us, where are our tafsir? We need to bring it from among us, to come out from among us and go ahead and get into those sessions and go ahead and make the, what did you say about the night? Email Muhammad and Yahweh. He said, "Imam Muhammad connector, and one of the connection with the nectar is the power. So what gives the nectar is golden color is power. You see, pollen is gold. Nectar is basically clear. So the bee works with that nectar until it becomes golden honey, and that's what we have to do. You have your own tafsir. You have your own tafsir." Oh, no, we can't get out of the guidelines of the tafsir. See, the end of the tafsir book. And the end of the tafsir margin is the end of this book right here. This book right here. Somebody talk about that. Tafsir never did exist. Tafsir book never existed during the Bible. You understand? So I have a statement here. This call from the
the best way to navigate the precious gift of life is to understand, become more familiar with the Quran, and understand, become more familiar with the life Sunnah example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We should know that the best way to apply it, the Quran, is to follow the message of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in his daily example, how he lived his life. Believers must also take under consideration the proper implementation of that fear explanation based upon the need analysis of our individual place in society.
Based upon the need and analysis of our community.
Right.
Based upon the need and analysis. Why would I just want to get an idea that does not apply to our circumstance? We have to deal with medicine where the type of medicine that is needed to our community. And then study other communities, don't think other communities don't need medicine. As a matter of fact, tafsir is a form of medicine. And the Quran, as you know, is called Al-Shifa', the healing. But the getting the truth from the Arabiyyah, studying the Arabic, going inside, getting the knowledge, the wisdom, and then what you come up with, as long as it is logically fitting within the framework of the Quran and the Sunnah, for us. We have to make our own analysis. We can't have people doing what is it called, diagnosis of us, and then they tell us what's wrong with us. We have to do diagnosis of us and find out what is wrong with us because we are who we are. We have our own. Exactly. But we can't just do that. We have to take time. We have to be served. We have to take time to analyze the situation to finish this thing.
Believers will also take under consideration the proper implementation that fear based upon needs and analysis of our individual faith in society, family, situation, community, environment, region, and country, etc.
Okay, now here I'm going to read this. This is so sweet, Dr. Honey. This is the item on the head. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad says, acquire for pure knowledge that enables its possessors to distinguish right from wrong. It lights up the way to heaven. It is our friend in the desert, our society in solitude. You don't have anybody acquire for full pure Quranic knowledge from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't make any difference if you are lost, then it is, as the next one says, it is our companion when friendly. It guides us to happiness. Sustains us in misery. It is an adornment among friends and an honor among our enemies.
We can talk about what we're doing. So that is going to get to the reporter and all of that stuff in our little bit.
So remember what I said. I said, and no question will they bring to you, Muhammad. That means also to us, because we follow Muhammad. But Allah has revealed to you the truth and the best explanation. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. May I ask for those on AM360 if they have any questions?
So that concludes today's session.
If you had a rock,
yes.
Had a lead off battery, lots of energy, learn a lot, build into the Quran, build into science, build into the science of the Quran. That's what I love about this thing. Not afraid to dive into the science of the Quran, and then if you have science in my face, but always turns on the science. And to see that we're all going that direction, even better. Tomorrow, we pick up first thing, 10 o'clock, and so on. And we continue this conversation, a public conversation, this exchange of knowledge, remember, of one of them. And it's continuing to grow and not understand it. Tonight, we'll take a break until I hear from 7:52. We will have Jason Warren, available for anyone here to break the fast for the passing, and we'll have Neil Itoff after my jersey as well. And we'll have you stand by and then call those there as well. Feel free to visit our vendors who will set up and bought wares for your consideration, and book CDs and oil. We'll, like I said, we'll come back here for set up. And then we'll pick up into my spot. So thank you very much for the energy, the conversation.
Email wants to be Muhammad passed during the month of Ramadan. We have a dua for him,
Yeah, I'm going to do that. This reminder. Yeah, oh, tomorrow. Okay. So, yeah, so this week, so tomorrow's schedule is going to start at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have three sessions lined up before it's about to do it. And then we have one, I'm probably sitting now, Daniel, I'm going to close it out after it's about to do it. And that will be the tomorrow's agenda. So that's the plan for tomorrow. So for those online, you know, we join us again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and see you online. That's all I can do.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Oh, okay. Now, my husband, hold on. Okay, my husband, our presenter just stepped away already, but go ahead, my husband. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. My husband, can you hear me? Hold on. Sorry. Are you on mute, Mahasa? Hold on. Let me make sure I can. I don't hear you. Can you hear me? I opened your mic. Mahasa? Mahasa, are you there? Jafrisa, let me see if you can come through. Hold on, I'm going to open your mic. Jafrisa, assalamu alaikum, can you hear me? Jafrisa? Okay, let's see. Jafrisa, oh, I hit 285. Which line are you on, Jafrisa? 810-225? Let's see. Can anyone hear me? Ms. Hassan, I don't hear you. And know what I opened your mic.
Yes.
Okay. I saw your hand up. Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. Yes, the presenter has walked on. I mean, we just ended. I was checking to see if anyone had a question. Did you have a question?
A really acclamation of Sister Martha and Mona Abdullah. Just a achieving AM360's coverage and expansion of this vital information. Just finished watching Imam Hassan Mohammedullah
and
his presence was awesome.
Sure. You're kind of breaking up. Let me see. Oh,
Let's see. Yeah, I should be able to hear you. Let's see. Try it again, my husband. I heard you say something about me, man. Hashem
Hamidullah is one of my favorite scholars that
I found in
being a student of his. His first interest is bringing the essence of knowledge, of Quran, in his interaction with Imam Muhammad, and this goes for all of our revered leaders and scholars and Imams, those that were blessed to be absorbing that from their interaction from the Imam, have rendered just amazing information growth, understanding to the students of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And I thank Allah, Imam Muhammad was my teacher in the Arab Islamic Learning Institute.
Mahasan, I just want you to have to hear your voice as you're saying he's one of your instructors.
Oh, it's not like a Mahasan.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just giving salam to Sister Mahasan, Imam Hadi.
Yes.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Bless you.
Thank you. All right, dear. I just wanted you to get the chance to give him the greeting.
Oh, thank you, Martha. I love you for it. He's dear to my heart. And he's dear to the heart of this community. I want him to be.
Yes, he is. Yeah, we really took down a whole lot. I got a lot of editing to do. but it really was very...
A lot of inspiration for growth in the connection he made between our legacy to the youth. That's incredibly important. I'm so glad that he started this. And what the idea of approach to doing that and the encouragement for becoming tough. I was doing the happy dance. Beautiful.
Shukran. And unfortunately, I pray that Alita is able to do likewise in North Carolina. And then I pray that, I guess we went to Chicago, but those Ramadan sessions have been held.
Beautiful.
And I think Wazir and them, they're having their Ramadan session next week, isn't it? Is this week as well?
They had it before.
Doing the same thing.
He's in Durham, Raleigh. Durham to do.
Who's in Durham? Wazir's in Durham.
Wazir Ali. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did see his name on there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's in Durham. So I think I owe my check here, and I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Ramadan session. Go ahead, babe. I apologize. You were saying something else.
Oh no, that's okay. I'm just inspired because I think in my memory, this is the most Ramadan sessions that have happened almost simultaneously throughout the country. So I think making available this information to those who want to grow. And that our scholars, our teachers, our leaders are coming to so that we can give Imam Muhammad that good life, that good future that he has.
Yeah, and we're committing, Florida is committing itself to do every 90 days and keep the connection going here.
This is a wonderful event that you, especially the leadership of Imam Yahya Abdullah, and his worldwide focus
We're so appreciative of this.
So be careful that. I'm going to head out, everyone. Let me see. I think we have about 5 more minutes on here. Let me. I've become biased now with Imam Siddiqui. Yes, ma'am. Let's see if that came up. Yes. Okay. All right, y'all, I'm going to play this. Dr. Nasser's daughter. So I'm going to take the liberty now of having her introduce herself. And please, I know she said she's standing here like she's such a beautiful soul too. But introduce yourself, Dr.
I don't know exactly what she wants me to say, and I don't see any
your
faces.
Name?
So, okay, my name, Ubaida Abdurraqib.
Abdurrahim?
Abdurraqib.
Raqib.
Yes.
Okay, Abdurraqib. And you live where?
I currently live in South Florida, so I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Are you? Oh, okay, just raised in Tampa Beach.
Okay.
Okay. So now, you're which number daughter and number sibling?
Okay, so my dad has 10 children.
Okay.
And so I am in the middle of the 10, but my mom has 6.
Okay.
And so I'm the oldest of my mom's children.
Oh, yes. This is 6.
Yes.
Okay. And what is going to become a doctor? What category?
So
be a doctor?
I am a family physician.
Family physician, okay.
Yes. And when I was, the story is the same. I mean, I don't know what the inspiration was specifically the relation to this, but in my mind, I was young. I was watching TV,
uh-huh.
and I saw they would show the commercials of the children in Africa with swollen bellies. And okay, and they were starving. So
uh-huh.
in my mind, I said, you know, I have to help those kids. They don't have any food.
Uh-huh.
So when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to heal the babies.
Oh,
that's what I thought. My young mind said that the doctors would do that.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to become a doctor.
Oh, okay. I'm doing that. So now, how long have you been in the profession?
I tell people I graduated in 2008.
Okay. Oh, what do you mean? Transition.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, oh, we can just all hug you and just say we're so thankful. And you all, you heard, I don't know if you heard all of her presentation. I did record it here, but I will be, I'm not editing, but I will be slicing, because I have a lot of other stuff on the thing, but I won't take anything away from what you were sharing. She was so dynamic, everyone. I mean, we had to get down with it. She had to bring us out of our, we just in awe looking at her. She was educating us on so much, but praise you to Allah. And handling the conversation we want to have on AM360 is about what you were sharing.
Oh,
about, yes. About, you know, that the matter of fact, that there's no ifs, ands, or buts
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the genes. The very cells
mm-hmm.
and the nucleus and how, on my end, I was saying the RNA and the DNA is how, you know, it can fictitiously come up and knock, so to speak, and say, let me in. But it still doesn't take away from the male-female
right.
situation that you can adapt yourself to become a male.
Right.
Or
right.
adapt to being a female. You can't.
Well, one of the things that I've, so my daughter and I, we were talking afterwards and, you know, trying to elaborate. Sometimes in the amount of time you're given, it's very difficult to express everything that you want to express.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking and I said, you know, one of the issues is that we don't live in Jenna. This is not Jenna here. It wasn't designed to be a perfect living space,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the challenge, we have many challenges as human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the challenges is staying in your fitra in whichever test that you're given,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a test in your health,
mm-hmm.
whether it's so physical or mental health,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a test in your thinking,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a test in your religion, there are going to be plenty of tests,
mm-hmm.
whether they're real, like tangible,
mm-hmm.
or not real. So we expect there to be anomalies. We expect there to be differences. But how are you going to use Allah's truth
mm-hmm.
to deal with that particular anomaly,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't have to say, okay, just because this is defective
mm-hmm.
in this life,
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't still have honor and dignity and it doesn't have what Allah wanted it to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so I may have one leg, but my soul is still an intact soul. So how do I now live with that one leg? I don't make everybody say, oh, believe that I have two legs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you all now have to cut off your legs to make me feel better. You don't have to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was given something, and this is my test, and I have to deal with it. I don't have to burden you or the rest of society with the test that I'm given. But even if I do need help because I'm one human being and the world can be very helpful, then it's not your responsibility, though. You don't help me by saying, oh, well, you know what? You actually do have two legs.
Yeah.
No.
I'll triple
have...
you other way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, how can I help you in the way that will be pleasing to Allah
mm-hmm.
in whatever test that you're dealing with? And oftentimes, too, the other thing is this is also a temporary life. That's the other thing that we know. So nothing in this temporary world is meant to last forever either, right? We transition from this place to the next place. So even feelings, emotions, and thoughts, so those negative thoughts that we have can also change back to the physical. That's the whole point of the Ramadan. Okay, so I'm thinking one way, and you know better, so then you teach me, you remind me. And I said, oh, okay, I was wrong. How many times have I been wrong in my life? So many, alhamdulillah. So we just continue to pray that Allah will correct our wrong thinking, our wrong, and guide us to correct us, right, because He gives us free will.
Yes.
So may Allah help us to have people that, okay, sister, you're better at that than I am. Help me get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or remind me, you know, or help me understand what Allah has revealed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because somewhere somebody corrupted my thinking.
See? And as you were speaking, I'm thinking on as we're raising our children and we're sharing with them and as Amina was pointing out, well, don't tell the children such about finances and out of that, but what do you tell them? And I remember sitting my sons down with my sons, and I'm saying to them now that they were in stupid mistakes. I'm saying, okay, we're in this together. You know, I've brought you as far as I could bring you, and now we can help one another.
Right.
So, and that's the way they began to, okay, Ma, step for 1 minute, start thinking. Mom, you need to go to bed. No, that, we didn't need it that way. You know, become my father.
Right.
And things like that. But it's a beautiful process, and you realize, and you can let the reins go.
Right.
It, you know, I mean, and just concentrate truly on living this life. And like you're saying, don't beat yourself up. I remember a sister brought me a journal once that said, the imam was saying, and then watching Muhammad, so he went along the way. He said that we become our judge and our jury. We become our worst. I wouldn't say enemy, but I think that's what he used. So we become so dictatorial on ourselves.
Right.
We ourselves like, okay, I made this mistake.
Right.
So we kill ourselves.
Exactly. And that's just the thing too, right? Where is the mercy that we have on ourselves?
Yes.
Right? Because, okay, this person is in this wrong right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this wrong thinking. They're in this wrong action right now. But where is the grace to say, okay, you know what? It's still wrong,
mm-hmm.
but you're still human and you're dignified.
Mm-hmm.
But come on over here to the right side. Right?
I
that's
mean,
the invitation.
I mean.
Not we want to kill you.
Yes.
We want to kill the sin.
There you go.
Right?
Yes.
We want to outdo the sin, but we know that that's going to be a perpetual fight.
And that's where we are with criminal justice.
Mm.
Where one gentleman was saying in Congress, he's proposing lynching coming back.
Mm.
And others are saying, oh, that'll never happen. I say, well, I don't even want to think about the process of it never happening, but the fact that somebody suggested it, then I say then the communities have to become a mercy.
Right.
And not that the person get it, come back and just say, okay, so I did this and y'all forgive me. And that, no, you have to come back and you have to do, like, come engage right back into the community.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the beauties of Islam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have these people on one extreme or the other,
mm-hmm.
like you're describing. So people will say, oh, my God, you Muslims are so barbaric and this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the punishments is, right, in some countries, okay, you steal, and so they chop off your hand,
yeah.
right? But you didn't kill the whole person,
mm-hmm.
right? You chopped off the hand. I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I'm just stating the fact. But when people saw the hands, they said, the missing limb, right? They said, well, I don't want to steal.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to putting somebody in jail for year after year after year after
mm-hmm.
year, and they're no longer, they're not productive for the entire society.
Mm-hmm.
They're productive for the people who have in jail them, and those people make money off of them. But what about those people being, number one, an example of what not to do anymore,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then letting them continue to live out a life,
mm-hmm.
a rehabilitated life?
Wow.
So we have to try to stay away from those extremes,
Yeah.
Why are you going to lynch and kill somebody who could potentially become a better human being?
Or is innocent of the charge.
Oh, especially that.
And so I said, also, you know, my prayer is, oh, Allah, let us, as we say, I had to first get into the mode of, you're not the savior of the whole world.
Okay.
You're not super da-da-da-da.
Right.
And come to that little part of the world that I can be in and do the best that I can do within that arena. And so though it doesn't have a label to it, I'm really like, I'm saying to myself, I just don't have a label to what I do. I just say community work. Everyone, it has been a pleasure. I'm not going to hold this debate up again. I'm going to embrace her, give her a big hug for you all. We go to six continents. So, alhamdulillah, so this goes out, and everyone can listen to it later as well. So thank you, everyone, and we will be joining back for Ifta.
Yes.
Ifta. So, alhamdulillah, love you. All right, everyone, listen, this is so beautiful. I can't express to you enough. And my husband, I apologize, I had to lose your mic. But that was Sister Ubeda, Dr. Nasser Ahmed's daughter. And then she has a daughter. She's such a beautiful person.
So we see the living legacy of doing what a lot of asked us to do, and that is to perpetuate the goodness. Ron, the theme is that goodness is on the rise. Each of us have something, been gifted and given something to contribute to that rise of goodness with our children. You know, our project, what Abraham told, and this is what Zachariah was told on their transition bed. They were asking their children, what will you do with what I left you? And we are living today when the witness is there about that. Dr. Dr.'s daughter and granddaughter. So we thank Allah. We thank Allah for that. And we ask Allah to continue to perpetuate that energy within us, to leave that legacy, a living legacy, a living archive of wonders that Allah has created in our lives. Inshallah. I'll stop there, Marta.
Allahu Akbar. Yes. So I'm going to go and get a little relaxation, everyone. And inshallah, like I say, it's hard time. Be prepared for Isha and for Maghrib, Isha and Taraweeh prayer. Okay? Inshallah, we make this happen.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ramadan Mubarak. Love y'all.